As I sat, I asked myself, why is it Abraham ran out of altars? Because I do not have one of Abraham's altars to speak on. But I would like us to turn to two portions of Scripture. The first is found in Isaiah chapter 42. The book of Isaiah chapter 42. And verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The next is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17, reading from verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. It was just a few weeks ago, my youngest son was sharing with me that he had a paper to write, and the professor that he had in the class was gay. And part of the requirements for the class is that you had to attend one of the service in the professor's church. He goes to a gay church. And he said to me, Dad, you know, in growing up, you would always speak to us about the dangers of college life. He said, you told us that when we get to college, we will have to contend with the professors who were teaching concerning evolution. He said, but when we got to college, we didn't have to contend with the theory of evolution. And I paused and I thought about what he had said. And my reply to him was, the devil succeeded. Because in the theory of evolution, it is to put God out of the picture. So here we were as parents talking to our children about this is what you'll have to face when you go to college. But little did we understand that the devil had already made inroads into the college, so by the time our children got there, is no longer having to deal with the issue of whether or not there's a God. The devil had succeeded in putting God outside, and now our children, and for those of you who are wearing all these white rocks on your fingers, your children will have to deal with the fact that the devil will bring in some other issues. So in displacing God from the classroom, you have to now deal with the lifestyle that says there is no God. The ripple effects, as it were, of not embracing the fact that there is a God. And in like manner, it was like in the days of Abraham. We didn't touch on these things this morning, but try to get the picture in your mind what is taking place as God is calling this one man to be for himself. And tonight there might be this one person in the room that God is saying, in the midst of all of this, I want this one person for myself. In the early chapters of Genesis, we have that the wickedness of man was so great in the eyes of the Lord that he had to come in judgment. He brought in the flood. That the heart of man was so wicked even from his youth that God looked down upon this pitiful generation of men, men that he had created in his own image, in his own likeness, that when God was finished with him, God said, oh, it is very good. Let us make man. What a thought it was when the Godhead can declare, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And only to have this man that God had created in his image and in his likeness turned away from him and do contrary to that which he had commanded. And then to see that man's generation, as they grew and multiplied, only did that which grieved the heart of God. And God said, it grieved my heart that I had made man. What it is to hear these words from a loving God, God who took the time to create man, that this God is saying that it is grieving my heart that I had made him. Why? Because sin had come in and disrupted that relationship that man had with his holy and righteous God. And it grieved God's heart. But there was a man that found grace in the eyes of God. That man was Noah. And God said to Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark because I am going to rain. I'm going to cause it to rain upon this earth. And you know what we say today. We're going to say what the Doppler radar say. Or what did AccuWeather says? If we hear that there's going to be some major storm, we want to hear what the expert has to say. And one can imagine that in the days of Noah, they were mocking and scoffing. Well, Noah, it's bright blue skies. The cold front is too far from this part of the earth. And the high pressure, they would have all sorts of excuses as to why it will never rain here. But then it rained. Because God said he's going to do it. And it rained upon the earth. And the wickedness of man was judged. Man was judged because he was rebelling against a holy and a righteous God. And God came in judgment. And he saved this righteous man, Noah, and his family. And what an appeal it was. God is always crying and calling to man, respond to my voice. Respond to my grace. Why don't you hear the voice of the Lord in tenderest tones saying to you, why don't you come to me and obey my voice? Can you imagine? And all the thousands that were living on the earth. You know, I was teasing some of the brothers this afternoon. I said, whenever we come up here to preach the gospel, we should preach about Noah. Because we have all these animals here in the room. And the animals responded to the call of Noah. And man says, no, we're not going in. That is the condition of man's heart. The animals went in, but man refused to go in. And the Bible says God shut the door.